Welcome to another faith-building message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. For more information about Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
Hey guys, I've got Chris, my wife, here with me. Just wanted to take a moment to talk about our Vision Builders, which is just about to come up in our church service.
Yeah.
And Chris, there's so many people who are tuning into our podcast.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to make sure that everyone had the opportunity, if you've been blessed through this ministry, to be able to give and become part of this ministry, which is obviously not just touching Sydney, but reaching to the four corners of the earth, it seems. Somebody from Russia was sending us an offering just this last week, and they said, we've been so blessed by the tools and the teaching that we've been receiving, we wanted to give. And it wasn't unsubstantial either. They were seriously wanting to support and become partners with us.
It was wonderful. We want to get the word of God out across all the nations of the earth, and sometimes some nations just don't have access to, you know, big local churches or ministries, and podcast is just the most amazing way with all the new technology to receive the word of God and to be a part of, of this ministry.
Exactly.
So it's very exciting. I want to thank you for all your support.
Yeah.
You know, I love that bit in the Bible where Jesus was about to do that first miracle, but he didn't know he was going to do a miracle. Nobody knew, but his mother said to the guys at the wedding, whatever he says to do to you, do that.
Do that.
And I love that, and I feel that that's the whole key to
best
giving.
Advice a mum could give anybody.
Exactly. And out
do whatever that, Jesus tells you.
Yeah, out of that obedience, a miracle happened.
Totally.
Of supply.
And we believe that everybody who gives to the Lord will never be cheated out of their reward, won't lose in any way. God is not trying to take from us. He's trying to bring blessing into our lives. And certainly giving is one of those ways that blessing doesn't just flow out of us, but flows to us.
Yeah, and it's part of our personality as a Christian.
Totally.
Generosity.
Exactly.
To him that is generous will more be given.
Exactly. In fact, I would think that generosity is possibly one of the first signs that you actually have become a Christian.
Yeah.
When Zacchaeus was converted, he had been a taker illegally and immorally from a lot of people. But as soon as he was converted, he became a giver.
Yeah, he did.
And he wanted to be a blessing to other people. And so it's a sign that Jesus is in our lives when we become givers. So we simply wanted to talk about that area so that you might feel, if you are able to and if you're inclined to send an offering and to become partners with us and to become part of the support system right around the world that is getting this message and the Word of God out to so many millions of people. So I wanted to encourage you to give. Please go to myc3church.net and you'll find all the instructions for that on there. This message that we are talking about today is the second in a series called Momentum. And I love talking about momentum. There's so much in the Bible about going forward, growing up, moving forward, breaking through. All these kinds of concepts are all the way through Scripture. God has never called you to a static life. Your life is constantly meant to be progressing, enlarging, expanding, increasing. That is part of the blessing of God on your life. For that to happen, there needs to be certain things. Number one, you got to get started. And sometimes it takes a kickstart to get us moving. 95% of a rocket's fuel is used on takeoff just to get it out beyond Earth's gravity. We talked about that last week, getting started. But then once you're going, keeping traction happening is really vital. And one of the ways that you can do that, in fact, the only way I know how you keep traction and momentum in your life, and you're not just spinning wheels, looking busy, shuffling paper on a desk and appearing like you're doing a lot, but actually not taking ground, is the way that you keep doing is making big, bold decisions, constantly making new decisions that take you into new areas. My scripture here is out of 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1. And this passage is about an amazing story in the city of Samaria. And it starts out saying, then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a sack of flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two sacks of flour of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. An officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, how could this thing be? He said, you'll see it, but you shall not eat of it. And then there were four leprous men at the gate of the entrance of the city. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? I like the King James Version. It says, why sit we here until we die? And then in verse 4, it says, if we say we'll enter the city, the famine is in the city, we'll die there. If we sit here, we die also. Therefore, let us go and surrender the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall only die. And they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. When they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us, the king of the Hittites and Egyptians, to attack us. Therefore, they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. Amazing story. It begins, the background of the story is that a Syrian general, Ben-Hadad, had surrounded the city with soldiers. It was called a siege, and that was one of the military tactics that they would use to starve a city into surrender, so there wouldn't even be a battle. They'd just come out waving a white flag and say, we give up, we've got no more food, no more water, we're all dying in here anyway. And so they mounted a siege around the city. Sometimes they'd build great walls of dirt. They would build these huge walls around the city so that anybody who was trying to get out had to scramble up that wall first. So they had surrounded the city and nobody could get out and no food could get in. And many times I've found people who have become so stuck in their life because of a traumatic experience or because of a fearful moment, they have become unable to come out of themselves and make the big, bold decisions to enact the dreams that are in their mind. They just find there's too much paralysis inside their soul to actually do it, to go ahead and make it happen. And it's difficult to get inside those people's worlds to try and motivate them as well, to actually find entrance into that, because they've become guarded. They don't want that to happen ever again. The problem with that position is that we get stuck in life and we're treading water for the rest of our days. We have inertia. We're not moving anywhere. We see everybody else. Oh, they got a new job. Oh, they bought a house. Oh, they're moving here. They got a family. And we're just feeling stuck in life. I would like to think that here today, you will get unstuck, that you will get set free, that you will be able to take a step forward and move into another day. Now, here's the word of the Lord. Within 24 hours, the prophet said, you're going to have more food than you know what to do with. You're going to have it everywhere, all through the city. Food's going to be cheap because it's so abundantly. This city, friends, was at the point of eating each other. Even their children. I mean, they were so mad in their minds with desperation and hunger. They were ready to kill each other. And the king was desperate. He said, oh, Lord God, what can I do? The prophet turns up, makes this extremely bold prophecy. Tomorrow, 24 hours time, you're going to have more food than you know what to do with. Well, the guy who was escorting the king around, he said, oh, please, what are you saying? Not even God can do that. That's always a taunt that God responds quite well to. He said, we are stuck. You can sit here today and say, you don't understand my situation. I am stuck. I am like cement, very mixed up and permanently set. I am broken. There's nothing works for me. I've got spiritual arthritis. I can't move. But I'm telling you here today, you didn't come to church by accident. I've come here today to pick a fight with fear. And the fact is, you are going to find yourself getting unstuck and set free, loosed out of the trap, loosed out of the snare of the fowler. David said many times, he has set me free from the snare of the fowler. And he could picture that trap that would snap shut on the legs of a bird. And the bird's trying desperately to fly. You know you've got wings. You know you've got soaring dreams on the inside of you. You know that you've got hopes and aspirations that are within you, and you know there's a capacity to bring them about. But there's a snare around your feet, and the wings are working, but you can't get off the ground. Here today, the snare is broken, and I am escaped from the snare of the fowler. Jesus came to set you free, not to bind you with religion, but to put a capacity in your heart that takes you out of being stuck in life. And that's what the prophet said. He said, God's come to bless you people. And they denied it. Now here's the thing. Who would have thought that God was going to use four fearful lepers to fulfill the prophecy of the mighty prophet Elisha? You would think it was going to be an army. Is going to come over the mountains. You would think it's going to be some great Samsonite figure filled with strength, supernatural power and everything else. But no, God was choosing four pathetic, hopeless lepers who had no hope in their mind at all. The most faith they had was zero faith. They said, if we go into the city, we'll die. If we stay here, we'll die. If we go to the enemy, we'll probably die. But that's the least risk we've got. So let's roll the dice and take a trip. All God needed, my friend, was not even faith at that point. He just needed somebody who would move. Somebody who would take a step. God isn't waiting for your skills and your brilliance and your expertise. He's waiting for a decision. As long as we're going, oh, maybe I will go to presence, maybe not, maybe I won't. As long as we're going, oh, man, I might go to college, oh, maybe not. Should I follow Jesus or not? I wonder if I should tithe or not. Make your mind up. That's what Jesus said. And the interesting thing about making your mind up, we all know that that means make a decision. But it's a lot truer than we think, because people without a decision don't have a mind. Their mind is unmade. By the indecisiveness, you're going, oh, I don't know if I should. Check this scripture out in James. James says, let him ask in faith, James 1:6, with no doubting. Don't doubt. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. If you feel like you're being manipulated by other forces, driven, it's possibly because you're double-minded. Which literally means duosuko is the Greek word, means two souls. You got a soul for this and a soul for that. Doubt divides you on the inside. Doubt mangles your inside integrity. So you're no longer integrated, you are disintegrated. And that's where people's lives, they say, my life is falling apart. Put it together by making your mind up. And make the decision. But you see, it's hard to make a decision sometimes if you've got these kinds of fears in your life that are preventing that. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven where this guy lived, James, in the Mediterranean. Man, I've been in the Maltese winds up there at 50 knots. It's like being a cork in a washing machine. They come everywhere. You've got no chance of surviving it if you've got no motorized power or sails or anything. You'll be tossed into the rocks. You'll be driven into. And you know, sometimes I hear that word driven like the title of a sermon. And I'm nervous about that. I was recently asked to endorse a book that had the word driven in the title. I said, oh, I'm not sure I can do that. I'm a pastor. I'm trying to get people to not be so driven. I'm trying to get them to be led and, to be impelled by the power of God and move on the winds of the rhythm of grace and feel it. But this, I'm going to drive. This kind of drivenness, I think Jesus came to set us free from white knuckles and grinding teeth so that the power of the Spirit will carry you into the kind of decisions you need to make. And I realize there's a lot of books with that, like Purpose Driven Life, and that's a lighter sense. It's a great, great book. Don't think I'm putting anything down like that, but it's an awesome thing to not be driven, but to feel like you got control of your life. And that's part of the fruit of the Spirit, that he'll give you self-control. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven into, let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord, because he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. It's not only unmakes my mind and unmakes my life, it unmakes all my ways. It affects everything. I know some indecisive people quite close to me, and their whole life has not even risen to 0.05% of its potential. Because they go, oh, maybe I shouldn't, maybe I'm not, maybe. Before you know it, you're 50, 60, 70 years old. I mean, you gotta make a choice. Make choices. There are reasons people don't make these choices. One, the first one is the fear, it's the wrong one. It's the wrong choice. That's the first reason. And you know, like there's some teaching that encourages that idea. You got to marry the right one. You better go to the right place. You better make sure you get the right job. There's one job for you. There's one wife for you. There's one house. I mean, imagine then if you marry the wrong one. Okay, there's only one and you didn't find him. And it's the wrong one. Well, then that means that he didn't marry his right one. And it means the one that was meant to marry him went and married their wrong one. And that one... You have just ruined the entire universe of relationships because you didn't get your right one, baby. No, it's broader than that, people. It's broader than that. I conducted a wedding in India once. I was preaching there and they asked me to do the wedding. I said, sure, I'll do the wedding. I was standing down the front and the bridegroom was there. I said, hey, man, you guys be going out for a while? He said, no. I said... This is a really beautiful guy. He says, I don't know. I said, what? He says, I've never met her. I said, wow. That's a TV series, not a reality. This is not actually, those things didn't even exist then, you know, but I go, what? He said, no, this is the world of arranged marriages. Lowest divorce rate in the world. What? They never met? I said, how did this happen? He said, oh, we don't have parents, but my pastor met with another pastor. He says, I have a good girl, I have a good guy, you know, get together. He says, I trust my pastor, you know. So I did the... I kind of felt like a criminal, you know, like, I'm going to marry these guys and they don't even know each other. But they went ahead. Good. It's all good as far as I know. And that was like 30 years ago. I haven't heard from them, you know. People fear it's the wrong one. When you go ahead and make a choice, God is going to guide your steps. The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord, not the thoughts of the heart, many thoughts in a man's mind. But when he makes his mind up to take a step, you will find if it is going to be the wrong one, and all of us have done it. I've made the wrong step, and oh, it's so embarrassing when you're going, everybody, we're going to do there. And he says, no, you shouldn't do that, go back. Oh, God. The better idea is to ask him first rather than when you've done it. With God, I know some of you think forgiveness is easier to get than permission, but you get in such a mess with, you know, that. And so the better idea is to be open to him. And as you start to move, you'll find he'll guide you in the way that you should go. And he'll guide you here. And that's how the walk of God is. I take a step, he takes a step. I take a step, he takes a step out there. You go, oh, I think I should go out there, Lord. He's going, no, we're going out here. You go, oh God, I better not do this. These jeans have got enough holes in them already. And I was like, the deal is we gotta just, you know, bring our feet around and start and learn how to be flexible with Jesus. Follow me, he said. Follow me. And if he's going in an area where you're not too keen about that, just keep following. Trust him. It's gonna work out all right. So sometimes that fear that it's the wrong thing can really, really hurt us in our decision making. It closes options. If you marry that one, you can't marry anybody else, right? That's it. Oh, I don't know if I can do that, you know, like, why? I mean, all the opportunities. We suffer from FOMO, people. For those of you who are not in the internet world, that's fear of missing out. It's like hashtag FOMO is on so many people's lives. They'll stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning in case something happens that they're going to miss out on it. I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to be with those people, got to be with those people. and you're looking on Facebook and Instagram and all these people having so much fun, and you're saying, oh, I wish I was there, I'm fear of missing out. They're not even there. That was 3 years ago. That was just a shot they put up there to make everybody think they're having a good time. They're at home crying in their pillow too. You know, the... You got to close your options. There's some things you will never do in life. Some things that you're happy about, other things, you know, like, they're just, and as you get older, there are some things you're never going to do again. Accepting that is difficult. Ask Mark Saundercock trying to play rugby and bursting a hamstring. You know, it's like, there are just some things. Don't bring it up. There are some things. A certain time, it's done. Don't sit there pining, trying to be a 60-year-old teenager. Accept your age, amen. It's done. Put away childish things and we move on. We don't throw tantrums anymore. We don't sulk. We don't, you know, as you grow up, as we move on, keep making the decisions, close the options. When the Romans landed on the English shores, the whole Navy looked back, all the crew looked back, and the captain had lit the boats up. They were all burning. And they said, how are we getting back to Rome? He said, we're not going back. Conquer or die. We're committed. No way back. I'm closing the option. Jesus says, put your hand on the plow and don't look back. If you look back, you'll render yourself unable to actually move in the kingdom of God. You can't be looking back all the time or looking sideways. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Close down the options. Live the undistracted life. And then you'll develop focus, which is the secret to success. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Number three is the fear of failure. Fear of failure. Listen to me. You are going to fail. Hugely positive message I heard at church today. I'm going to fail. Of course you're going to make mistakes. It's part of life. It's the human condition. That's why we have a Redeemer, a Savior. Because we mess it up. But we don't mess it up if we don't do anything. And so that's the consequence. You see, most people say, oh, well, if I'm going to mess it up, I'm not just going to do anything at all. Of course you're going to mess it up. There'll be times when it didn't work. And you don't go, God, what are you doing to me? You just go, I got to learn from this. I messed up here. After three marriages, you got to admit, there's one common denominator. And it doesn't matter what you're saying about the others. You know, why'd you leave your last job? Sickness. What kind of sickness? Oh, they were sick of me. And it's just like, there are so many ways of diverting the lesson off ourselves and thinking it's somebody else who needs to change around here. Actually, the better person to address is yourself, because that's where you got some control and you can actually do that. And the fourth one is you'd rather someone else do the thing. Someone else be responsible for the decision making. And you know what? Sometimes that creeps into our Christianity, where we, before we wanted fate to, we'd roll the dice, we'd do the tarot cards, we'd spin the board or something and let luck or some other force try and make those decisions for us. But when you come into Christ, He puts that back to you. But we don't get that sometimes. We're saying, God, what should I do? You tell me what I'm meant to do. Which side am I meant to part my hair? Should I have the blue one or the green one? Should I put the milk out tonight or should I buy this or that? Baby, make your mind up. Just make some decisions. Just go ahead. He's with you all the way. You don't need to worry so much about all that. Don't be doubtful. And that sense of the will of God can like haunt some believers as they are nervous about actually stepping out and doing these things. Well, back to our story, people. Back to our story, the four lepers. I know you thought I'd forgotten, but I hadn't. Here we are with these four lepers saying, why sit we here till we die? Everybody say that. Why sit we here till we die? This is not talking about geographical location. This is talking about spiritual growth. That's what I'm addressing here today, that you would find when you come into this church, if you're a new member, and we've heard this thousands of times, that since I came here, my relationship with Christ and my strength in God and my ability to be a ministry has increased 100-fold. Before, I was just treading water and felt like my Christianity was going nowhere. You can get on a fast track of growth by getting involved in that first step, or going to C3 College online, or in Knight College, or presence will be one great decision to make to keep you moving ahead. And just to keep yourself from just sitting on a couch watching Netflix for 3 hours every night, or whatever it is. I mean, how boring would your life be? Oh my God, well, you don't want to be lying in your coffin thinking, man, I wish I didn't watch so much television. I could have written a book. I could have done this or that. You don't die with regret. Today, take decisions in yourself and say, you know what? I'm gonna help build this church. Last year we started like 10 new services, for goodness sake. They were stretching moments for us. Stretching moments. And for many of you, your giving were stretching moments. A number of years ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago, there was a $9 million debt on our building here because of renovations and everything we did. This week, it's $750,000 because you have given and it's almost extinguished, people. A lot of people have said, count me in. I want to be involved in Vision Builders. And as soon as you make that commitment, you find blessing. It starts to move with you. Here's the end of the story. These four lepers, Tom, Joe, Bill, and Harry, that's their Hebrew names, and they're stepping out. Bob says, this is my idea. You guys walk gently, quieter, would you? It's making too much noise. If they hear us, they'll just throw one spear because they're all walking in single file. And then he was fearful of being a kebab, you know, it's like leopard kebab. All right. Walking towards the enemy. I want you to face your biggest fears. Walk straight towards it. Say, I'm gonna deal with that issue. I'm not gonna be stuck here, paralyzed from movement in my life. This year I'm gonna buy that house. Right here in Sydney, where they say it's all difficult, so much negative news. Don't listen to that. There is a report in the scriptures that you can believe, that with God, nothing's impossible. All things are possible to him who believes. Whose report are you gonna believe? A lot of fake news these days. You know, the fact is, you can believe the report of the Lord. It'll never change. It'll always deliver. These guys are going across this no man's land, dead man's land, just inching across. But here's the thing. God wasn't looking for greatly skilled or gifted or talented people. He wasn't looking for the rich or the famous. He wasn't looking for the experienced or the powerful. He was just looking for somebody who would make a decision. Somebody who would make a move. Because he will move when you start to move. God moves with the movers. So as they started moving, it says that the sound of their footsteps, eight legs, sounded like 800,000 legs. It sounded like a vast army. God took the sound of their feet, put it through a sound system, turned all the knobs up to 11 over the Syrians, and all they could hear was they could hear an army coming towards them. It was just four lepers, people. It was just four poor, bedraggled lepers, my God. They didn't even have a lot of faith. They thought they were gonna die, but they did have a decision. And today, to keep traction and momentum in your life, don't make just one decision, keep making fresh decisions for the blessing of God to rest on you. Because he will take whatever little effort you make and he will amplify it. He will magnify it so that you are walking like giants. You're walking like an army. You don't need to ever look at it yourself and think, I'm not enough. It's not you that needs to be enough, it's him. And he's always enough. All he needs is you to start walking with him. Before I finish here this morning, and I'm about to finish in 30 seconds, I want to ask a question. And that is, if you've never made the biggest decision, which is to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, I want you to do it. just as we come to a close, the way that we're going to do that is I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes, and then I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. Then you're going to pray a prayer, receive Christ, and then somebody at the end of the service will pray for you and look after you. So if you've never actually done that, never asked Jesus, come into my life. If you've never said, God, I want you to be part of my world, then I want you to pray that prayer. And so in a couple seconds when I ask, make sure you raise your hand. If you are here and you've been away from God, you've been afar off, I want you to come back. I want you to return. It's time to come back. Or if you're just not sure, you're going to heaven. You're a good person. You go to church, but you're not sure. I want you also to raise your hand. Can I ask everybody to close your eyes? Just close your eyes quickly now. If that's you, you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, or you've been away from God and you need to come back, or you just want to make sure you're going to heaven, even though you go to church and you're a good person. Right here, right now, if that's you, never prayed a prayer, coming back to Christ, want to make sure you're going to heaven. Right now, wherever you are, put your hand up for me. Put it up high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Thank you, lady. Just keep it up. Thank you. I see the lady down here. Thank you. I see the lady there. Thank you. I see the other lady there. Who else is there? Just keep your hand up. I want to make sure I pray for you. Thank you for the two ladies, guy up the back in the t-shirt, lady in the black dress. Yeah, thank you. I see your hand. Who else is there? Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Raise it high. If there's one more soul, I'll wait another 5 seconds. Thank you, sir. And big guy in a white t-shirt. Thank you down there. I see your hand. Anyone else at all? Anyone else at all? Please raise it high. Raise it right now. Say, that's me. I got to make sure I'm going to heaven. I'm coming back to Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask God to come into my life for the first time. One last person. If there's one more person, raise your hand, please. Raise it high. And I know that God is going to touch you. Thank you. Okay, guys, can we all stand? And we're going to pray a prayer together. And these guys are going to play a song. And then we're done. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all those people who raised their hands. I'd like us all, especially the people who raised their hand, to pray this prayer after me. Dear God in heaven, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. I commit my life to you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Let me pray for you. Those guys who put their hand up, maybe you just like to put your hands out like that. Just reach out to God. Father, put peace in their heart. Heal wounds. Deliver chains and break darkness out of their world. Let the blood of Jesus bring freedom and peace like they have never experienced before. Thank you for your love, Lord, filling these hearts today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a clap offering, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions that you have made and the great things that God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.